Now, if you take your Bible in Matthew 15 and go down to verse 29 to begin with, verse 29, and notice what it says here. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, I'm not going to preach on that passage of Scripture this morning, because as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew, we have seen Jesus do this time and time and time again. He is the miracle worker. And his miracles prove that he is God in the flesh. Nobody but God could do the things that Jesus did in this passage of Scripture. Nobody except for God himself. His miracles prove his deity. They prove that he is God in the flesh. But let's continue in this passage. Look at verse 32. It says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Now, I'm not going to preach on this portion of Scripture either this morning in chapter 15, because Jesus did something very similar to this back in chapter 14 with the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, you know, with just a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So I'm not going to re-preach that message, right? But remember, if you would, what the main point of that message was back in Matthew 14, because it applies here as well. The main message was that Jesus can meet every need that you have. If he can feed multitudes upon multitudes of people with just a little boy's lunch, he can certainly meet your needs as well. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is no need too hard or too big for him to meet. So I'm not going to preach on those two portions of Matthew chapter 15, and I'm not going to preach on verses 1 through 20, because that's what I preached on the last time. But I do want to preach this morning on verses 21 through 28. So let's read those. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now, I've had people say to me, when studying this passage of Scripture, boy, Jesus seemed to be really rough on this lady. All she wanted was a little help. She wasn't Jewish, and we know that Jesus came first and foremost to reach the Jewish people, but he was kind of mean, calling her a dog there in verse 26. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But here's what I think is going on here. I don't think in verse 26 that he was trying to teach a lesson to this Gentile lady. I think he was trying to teach a lesson to his disciples. He was pretending to be cruel by exhibiting before the eyes of the disciples how the Pharisees would have dealt with this woman. He's pointing out to them how cruel and how harsh the attitude of the religious leaders of the day were towards those who were sinners and towards those who were not Jewish. See, there was a purpose in this seeming unkindness. He was playing what we sometimes refer to as devil's advocate. Because the statement of verse 26 doesn't really reflect his heart. And we know that because of other Bible verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in 1 John 2:2, we read that God sent the Son to be the propitiation, the payment for the sins of the whole world. What Jesus was doing was showing a false Jewish attitude to teach his apostles how not to treat sinners. Jesus planned to heal this woman all along. He had planned it all along. Now, here's what I also think. I think that Christ was deliberately testing the faith of this woman. Because, folks, faith that cannot stand testing is poor faith. It's poor faith. All through the Bible, people's faith was tested. Abraham's faith was tested when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Israel's faith was tested when they were standing on the edge of the Red Sea with Pharaoh's armies coming up behind them. Elijah, the prophet Elijah's faith was tested when he prayed 7 years for rain and didn't even see a cloud. God sometimes tests our faith, because that's how faith is proven to be real, and that's how faith grows, by testing. So when your faith is tested, be like this woman. Don't quit on God. Don't give up on God. Don't get discouraged. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Her faith was strong. And so even though it seemed like he was discouraging her, she kept on asking and didn't give up until the need was met. And what an example for us in prayer. Now, I want us to look at an example in another place in the Bible where Jesus also teaches on this subject. So now turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Beginning in verse 5. And he said unto them, Luke 11:5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall enter and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Basically, what Jesus says is keep on knocking even when the friend says no. Why? Because importunity won him over. I looked up that word importunity to find out what it meant. Importunity means persistence almost to the point of annoyance. Persistence almost to the point of annoyance. The persistence of this man caused his neighbor to get up in the middle of the night and give him as many loaves as was needed. Now remember, the neighbor who said no at first represents God in this passage. God sometimes says no at first, when he will not say no after we prayed a second or a third or a fourth time. See, he sometimes says no to test whether or not we are serious in our praying and to see if we have faith enough to keep asking. And this is one test that we as believers don't want to fail. That's why Paul says things in his writings like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Now, I want you to look at another place where Jesus teaches on this subject as well. So turn with me over to Luke chapter 18. And we'll begin in verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We ought always to pray and not to faint, even when God seems to say no. Now, the word faint there is kind of an interesting word. In the Greek language in which our Bible was originally written, it's the Greek word enkakeo. And it means to not let up. It means to be persistent. But it also means don't relax. Don't relax. See, the last thing that we want to do as Christians is become laxed in our praying. This widow who asked the unjust judge for justice got an instant no. But she didn't quit. She didn't let up. She was persistent. And what happened? She got her request granted. And Jesus says that that's the way we're to pray for what we need. If you know that you really need what you're asking for, then be like the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. Be like the friend who needed those loaves in Luke 11. Be like this widow woman in Luke 18, and just keep on asking. Let God know that you are serious about your praying. When you pray, you need to do a few things. First of course, you need to bring your need to the Lord. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." We want to come to him with that care. James says in James 4:4, "You have not because you ask not." So first bring the need to the Lord. And then, after that, you want to believe that he can meet the need and that he will meet the need. That's what we call faith. That's faith. And then third, don't give up praying until the need is met. Be persistent in your praying. That is what the Canaanite woman did back in Matthew chapter 15. Now let's go back there for a moment, Matthew chapter 15, and look at a few things that she did. First of all, she accepted the deity of Christ. She accepted Jesus to be who he said he was, the Savior. She actually calls him Lord here. She submitted herself to him. She believed he was the Messiah. She believed he was the Savior of the world, that he was the Son of God. And if he was the Messiah, she knew he could heal her daughter. I'll ask you this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Have you invited him into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord? That's the first step to getting your prayers answered. She accepted Jesus to be the Savior. Number two, she was determined to be heard. She was determined to be heard. In verse 22, it says that she cried unto him. And look at the end of verse 23. She crieth after us. The disciples said, "Send her away." She crieth after us. She kept on asking. And then you get down to verse 25, and it says that she worshiped him. She offended the disciples. She made a spectacle of herself with tears and crying and begging. But although she seemed fanatical and maybe even seemed beside herself, what happened? She got the answer to her prayer because she was persistent and refused to give up. She was determined to be heard. And then let me give you the last point here, and it's this. She had faith. She had faith, and that was her greatest virtue. She believed he could. She believed he would. And that's what made all the difference. And Jesus commends her faith in verse 28. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And so let me ask you a couple of questions here this morning. First of all, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God? And have you accepted him into your heart to be your Savior and Lord, to wash your sins away, to give you everlasting life and a home in heaven, to make you a child of God? Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Because if not, that's your greatest need. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's your greatest need this morning. But here's question two. If you have done that, and you are a Christian, are you being faithful and persistent in your prayer life? Does prayer have an important place in your life? Are you serious about your praying? Or are you neglectful about it and treat it like it's really nothing more than a last resort? How's your prayer life? And then the third question is, how's your faith? When you pray as a Christian, do you pray doubting that God's going to do anything? Or do you pray believing he can and will do something? Jesus tells us that that kind of faith is what makes the difference. That's the kind of faith we need to have when we pray. That's the kind of faith this woman had, this Gentile Canaanite woman had in Matthew chapter 15. Now, I want you to look at one more passage where Jesus teaches, and I'm not even going to comment on this passage. I am simply going to read it because I think it sums up pretty much everything that Jesus taught in these passages. So turn to Mark chapter 11. And verses 22 through 24, I'm just going to read them because, like I said, they summarize up what I think we've seen this morning. 22 through 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the truths that Jesus has taught us concerning prayer. Lord, thank you for the examples that we've seen in the Bible this morning of people to teach us how to pray and what kind of faith we should have. And Lord, help us to take this now and use it on our own prayer life. Help us to pray in faith, believing you can and will do impossible and miraculous things. Help us to be faithful in bringing our prayers and our requests to you. And help us to be persistent. Help us to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to give up. Help us to be just like this Canaanite woman. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.